We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast on the RotoViz Radio Network. I am your host, Nathan Powell. This lovely podcast is brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. And I am joined by the one, the only, Dan Sanyo in the building. Dan, week 11, right? Week 11 is in the books?
Week 11.
Holy moly, week 11 is in the books. Playoffs are creeping up. I don't even know what week my playoffs start this year. I can't even remember. I don't know if it's 14, 15, or 18, but we're getting there close.
Time flies when you're having a miserable time playing fantasy football with everybody injured, and apparently points no longer matter, neither do players or who starts or who sits or who gets benched, because we're just starting quarterbacks that no one's ever heard of, running backs that don't actually exist. And the wide receivers are holding up okay, it seems.
That's right. Jim Carrey is Drew Carey.
Big fan of Jim Carrey, though.
Drew Carey is keeping score of all your fantasy teams, and the points don't matter. All right, let's get into the show. We got some news, some notes, some coaches' corner, and some rookies. No rookie of the bet, just some rookies to talk, and maybe a sophomore in the mix. So, our first news was, I love it. It is my favorite that, Dan, I talk about it every single time. People talk themselves into corners predicting future NFL transactions. First, on the day Tim Patrick signed a four-year contract, free! Cortland Sutton is free! It's a miracle! Woo! And then, Dan, 4 days later, what happens? What happens 4 days after Tim Patrick signs a four-year contract? Oh, Cortland Sutton signs a four-year contract. So Cortland Sutton, not free. Tim Patrick, not free. What do we make of these long-term extensions for the pairing?
Well, I think Denver is doing a really good job of posturing and making that quarterback spot look very, very tempting for, it's got to be, in my opinion, one of Aaron Rodgers, assuming that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers part ways, or the Seattle Seahawks do have a potential out with Russell Wilson, I would assume. That would involve some form of trade, unless they go full gung-ho rebuild and they just want Russell off the books. They're like, hey, you go do what you want to do. But like I said, it's got to be posturing for them to get one of these real deal quarterbacks in and win. Because even though they did sell Von Miller, the amount of playmaking ability they have on the offensive side of the football. You don't have to be the most stout defense in the league if you've got four legit wide receivers, and I am including, unfortunately, KJ Hamler in that bit, as well as Javonte Williams, what's left of Melvin Gordon. You have Noah Fant. That is a formidable offense, even with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm. If you can upgrade to Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, all of these guys, even with what will most likely be kind of a lower target volume per player, the efficiency increase, what these targets are actually worth going from Teddy Bridgewater to an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson will be a significant gain. So I think it is good for the Denver Broncos. It's probably not great for a fantasy outlook because it's going to siphon a lot of targets, you know, not necessarily siphon, but everyone's going to want to eat. You know, we've kind of seen Noah Fant grow and become what we believe is a pretty high end tight end one. We know Jerry Jeudy is great when he's healthy. Cortland Sutton has proven nothing but the fact that he can play as well. And Tim Patrick has been a nice surprise with KJ Hamler over the top. And we're still kind of waiting on Javonte Williams. We know what Melvin Gordon is, but this team offensively is ready to win. They just need the quarterback. So I think it stings a little bit from the fantasy outlook, but I don't necessarily think I'm downgrading any of these guys at all because Tim Patrick still is relatively free. Cortland Sutton has been kind of always undervalued aside from maybe rookie drafts when he was coming out. And Jerry Jeudy is probably fairly valued at this point in time. So I don't really think anything crazy changes for those guys. It could change if Aaron Rodgers does become the Denver Broncos quarterback, but we're still a way away from that.
Yeah, my takeaway here is that it kind of lowers the weekly floors of all of these guys because we were anticipating at least one of these guys being gone, and now Sutton, Jeudy, Patrick all have to share a receiving core with each other. And so Tim Patrick's like long-term floor does raise because now he has this long-term contract, and Sutton's floor does ding a little bit because he now has, you know, one very good wide receiver opposite him in Jerry Jeudy, which Ryan tweeted out the other day, and I'm pretty sure it didn't change this weekend, that Cortland Sutton has never outscored Jerry Jeudy in a game, which is kind of crazy. Granted, Sutton was injured and Judy's been injured as well, but Jeudy is clearly, through that stat, the number one in the Denver offense. But the floor, I think, is a little bit lower for Sutton and Jeudy, knowing that Patrick has the long-term contract.
Yeah, it's like I mentioned, it was just kind of it stings a little bit, but I do think this is clear posturing for them to up the ante and make at least three of these guys. I mean, somebody's going to be missing out, I think, in the long run, whether they have a Hall of Fame quarterback or a rookie quarterback. Someone's just not going to eat quite enough to be worth, you know, a bigger investment, whether it's Fant, Jeudy, or Cortland Sutton. I don't think Tim Patrick really plays a huge role into the main target share, but they paid him like he's, you know, he's going to get some looks. So he's been a really nice complimentary player, and he's been really great, honestly, when he's had to fill in and when Jeudy has been out, when Sutton's been out, when Fant's been out. He's shown he can do it, and it was a well-deserved contract. So I do hope that we see a big time quarterback go here, because it'd be fun to see this offense truly, because they could be special with one of these big quarterbacks.
And of course, this is a very tired talking point, but you know, the Broncos, they definitely couldn't have used Justin Fields or Mac Jones. Like that wouldn't have made any sense, Dan, would it?
Could you imagine this offense with Mac Jones right now? I mean, they would be doing what the Patriots are doing.
All right, let's move on to our coach's corner, Jason Garrett. After Joe Judge basically made the announcement Monday night saying things are going to change on offense after their poor performance and the worst pass I've ever seen thrown to Steve McClendon, the defensive tackle for the Buccaneers. Basically, he said he was going to make changes on offense and immediately did so, because if he didn't make this firing, he was going to be the one getting fired on Tuesday morning. So Jason Garrett fired. I don't think there's much of a dynasty implication here because I think this is the death knell for one Daniel Jones. The Giants will be investing a high pick. They have both their own and the Bears. So it's kind of a race to the bottom to see which one of those picks is going to be higher. But I would be shocked if they exit the top 10 of the draft without a quarterback, even in what might be a debatably poor year for quarterbacks. But yeah, I think that this is the end of Daniel Jones. I think that Galladay's floor is zero until proven wrong. And, you know, that this Giants offense, it and Saquon Barkley is just injured nonstop and just can't get anything going. So, you know, the Giants offense, if you have any Giants fantasy players, you're playing for 2022. There's no Giants guys that, like, I'm confident putting in my lineup right now.
Yeah, it's been, without a doubt, the struggle bus for this offense as a whole. And, you know, we can blame Jason Garrett all we want because he's one of the worst play callers in the NFL and in NFL history, to be completely honest. And he was just a puppet in Dallas. So we kind of all knew how this was going to go. I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did. But there's not really anything here outside of like a 35% healthy Saquon Barkley that is overly enticing. We've seen a flash from Kadarius Toney. I still believe he's a flash in the pan type of player. A home run hitter only.
Unless you put him at quarterback, because that gun last night, whoo!
That's true. He showed some promise. That's the best quarterback play I've seen since like Kerry Collins, maybe when he played for the Giants. It's been interesting. I think you're spot on where they'll be probably going after quarterback. Daniel Jones was never the answer. I understand these franchises have to at least make the attempt, but this had like Blaine Gabbert written all over it. You know, the athletic upside is nice, and we get to see it every once in a while. But his ability as a passer, with or without any of these weapons, whether they're healthy or banged up or whatever, has been wildly inconsistent. He's just not a starting NFL quarterback, unfortunately. He's never had that caliber.
We're digging deep here. January 2022 startup, February 2022 startup. Who goes first in a Superflex startup, Mitch Trubisky or Daniel Jones?
I still think it'll probably be Daniel Jones, but that's another one that, you know, those guys, it's that Spider-Man meme like we've done before. It's Blaine Gabbert, Mitch Trubisky, and Daniel Jones all sitting in a circle pointing at one another wearing a Spider-Man mask.
And guess what? Blaine Gabbert like just scores points whenever he's on the field. So
he's looked like probably the best out of all of them, which is truly unfortunate. So yeah, as far as the Giants playmakers goes, I mean, if you can buy low on Saquon for like really next to nothing, not next to nothing because no one's going to sell for that. But I mean, maybe I understand the intrigue in Kadarius Toney. He's still probably relatively cheap. The rest of this offense I can do without. Galladay, I mean, he's approaching like droppable pretty soon here. This is getting real bad. Evan Engram, who I had real high hopes for, thought he was going to absolutely eat the way they've kind of built this offense, has been an utter disaster. He just looks like he forgot how to play football. And as much as I love Sterling Shepard, he's going on what, 29. And I mean, he's just your run of the mill slot receiver. So not a whole lot of upside here. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of really interested high-end offensive play callers that are like, you know what? I really want to go there because they got that Daniel Jones guy. And look at all of those look at Saquon Barkley.
Well, sure. No, the intrigue for the Giants job will be those two high first-round picks.
Exactly.
Now, one of those teams that they have the first-round pick of is the Chicago Bears, and they are also going to be on a coaching search fairly soon because they have, you know, put through the grapevine that they will be firing Matt Nagy as a Thanksgiving present after the Thanksgiving game. I'm not sure why they didn't just fire him Monday, you know, let him enjoy a turkey day with his family. He's like, no, you are going to do this.
That was the punishment. Yes, have one more game. You don't get to be at home for Thanksgiving.
Matt Nagy is on the proverbial chopping block. You know, this can only really be good news for one Justin Fields, but I do have a random take that is going to be right and it's going to be funny when it is. the Bears' next head coach is going to be Todd Bowles. Just letting you know that it's going to happen. Like, Todd Bowles is going to get a job, and the Bears are the team that rehires Todd Bowles every single time.
That will be enjoyable. My selfish ways and hopes that Justin Fields gets something is that they get Eric Bieniemy. And
see, I was thinking that too, but they're not going to go back to back Chiefs offensive coordinators. There's no way they could do that.
Well, yeah, I going back to the Andy Reid tree, instant is probably not the best move after you had such a miserable failure in the first one. I feel like he has more to hang his hat on than Matt Nagy did at the time of the hiring. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. You know, obviously changing coaches in a young quarterback's career is not necessarily a great thing, but getting away from Matt Nagy.
It is highly variable. Like, there are definitely young quarterbacks that get a coaching change and then whoop, you know, skyrocket. And then there's, you know, the Jason Campbells who have 8 head coaches in their first 6 years.
I still love Jason Campbell. One of my all-time favorites.
So is there any other shakeout from this? I mean, obviously Allen Robinson stock up, I guess.
He's gone. My assumption would be he's gone in 2022. Yeah. He's a free agent. I can't imagine why he would hang around. You know, David Montgomery probably gets a boost. We hope that Justin Fields continues to take strides forward. And the offense is built to run. You know, when we see these random drives, it was like, hey, let's showcase Justin Fields. Let's let him make throws. Let's let him get out of the pocket. Like, why aren't we doing this all game, every game? It's clear he has the ability to do those kinds of things, to be a Kmart version of prime Cam Newton. Like, he's got that. They just refused. Matt Nagy refused to do it. So, you know, there's definitely upside in a couple of these players, but I think this is one of those teams offensively we'll see a major overhaul with.
Speaking of overhaul, before we head into our next topic, you can overhaul your fantasy game with RotoViz. RV Radio 2021. It's a promo code. It's your Black Friday sale. 10% off everything you need from fantasy. Get your content, get your tools, and support the podcast. Get involved today and figure out how you're going to handle Matt Nagy getting fired on Black Friday and not the Black Monday kind of Black Friday, the Black Friday kind of Black Friday. Was that confusing enough for you, Dan?
No, I followed you the whole way.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Next. The Jets might need an overhaul, but they've already started the overhaul, and it might not have overhauled very well, according to Dan, his Zach Wilson take. I still have faith in Zach Wilson. So my take here is Elijah Moore is blowing up without Zach Wilson, and the blow up will just continue once Zach Wilson puts his helmet on straight.
Do you recall a conversation we had, I don't know how many months ago, about who the worst team in the NFL would be in 2021 and how I was adamant and correct that it was the New York Jets? And you said if it was the New York Jets, they would absolutely be drafting a quarterback first overall. I think we're well in line for that, Nathan. This team is abysmal. They're probably not going to have the first pick, but they're going to be real close to it. Obviously, the Lions, we would assume, are going to be that team. But they, even when Zach Wilson's been healthy, obviously that team isn't really isn't built to win quite yet. That offensive line is quite a hodgepodge. They've got a couple of players. Elijah Moore has looked fantastic over the last month with the quarterback carousel that has been the New York Jets. Excuse me, and. Honestly, the only bright spot in this offense has been Elijah Moore. And when draft day, draft night, draft weekend happened, I don't think there was a player I was more sad about than when Elijah Moore went to the Jets. I had real high hopes. I thought he was going to be one of the better wide receivers in this class. And then the Jets, Jets drafted him and my soul crumbled. But I still got a couple of shares because he was relatively cheap. And I'm kind of happy I did because, Nathan, like you always say, talent wins out. And I think Elijah Moore can win out because I do think he's good enough to overcome how bad this team is going to be for at least a couple more years.
Yeah, and there's always the caveat of that if the team is bad, there's going to be high passing volume equals more targets for Elijah Moore. He's been more polished. He's been better than I was expecting, you know, at this point in his career, especially, you know, he had the injuries in the preseason. But I definitely didn't predict a stretch of three games where he scored a touchdown in each, seven catches, three catches, eight catches, 84, 44, 141. So definitely some nice stretch of games being put together by one Elijah Moore in the absence of Zach Wilson. We'll see if that ends up just being like, yeah, of course he's better with Zach Wilson because Zach Wilson is Blaine Gabbert. But yeah, I think that Elijah Moore could be a buy high. He could be a guy that you pay more now because it's going to be double the price in February.
Yeah, I mean, he could be, you know, not to go crazy about it, but he could get a significant boost if the Jets figure this thing out. He could follow kind of that trail of like a Ja'Marr Chase, who was kind of going that mid second, even early third, as 101, where 101 normally does go, he or Najee Harris, kind of along the same lines. And then we realize this player is actually quite good. Obviously, Elijah Moore doesn't have Joe Burrow. He doesn't have the Cincinnati offense, but they've got a couple of pieces. Maybe Zach Wilson figures it out. Maybe that offensive line starts to play a little bit better. I mean, we've seen Mike White, Josh Johnson, and hell, even Joe Flacco look like they know how to play football in this offense. So there's really only one outlier here, and that's Zach Wilson. So if he can straighten things out, and, you know, obviously he's a rookie, it happens, but I do think that there is a pretty significant ceiling for Elijah Moore with even mediocre quarterback play.
Let's move on to a team that does not have mediocre quarterback play, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire returned from IR with a 12 carry for 63 yards and a touchdown, two catches for 13 yards and no touchdown there. And with the good old snap count, Darrell Williams, 53%, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 47% of the snap count. So Darrell Williams had a higher snap share, but Edwards-Helaire had more touches, eight touches for Williams and 14 touches for Edwards-Helaire. So my one worry was when Williams was playing well, are they going to say, why are we even putting CEH back in? And the answer is always draft capital. They still want to play their way into being right about drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the 32nd overall pick. So at the end of the day, in this offense, volume is volume. But that volume is severely diminished than what we were expecting because now he's splitting basically 50-50 with an undrafted free agent or whatever Darrell Williams is.
I mean, that was kind of what we assumed, though, right? Like, we knew that CEH wasn't just going to come back and be healthy and just not play. We knew he was going to come back. We knew he was going to get at least half of the carries, and that's definitely the case. But like you kind of mentioned, you're chasing the volume in this offense. You could just completely erase those names and just say RB1 A, RB1 B, whatever. And you're going to go get them because it doesn't matter who they are. They're going to score points when they're playing. And even though I think CEH is very mediocre, he's the RB1A now. And obviously, you know, arguably just the RB1 in that offense again when healthy. So even though I think Darrell Williams is, I mean, just as good of a player, if the Kansas City Chiefs are playing CEH, that's who you got to go after. I think the buy window is probably slammed shut. Unless you do see big things for CEH, if you think he can return to like mid RB1 scoring and pricing, then you can still probably buy him. I just don't really see with Darrell Williams and the way this offense is run, how he's going to get an exclusive workhorse, you know, role and really thrive in it. Obviously, again, we're chasing the volume, but we also need him to be decent for them to trust him with that role. And the fact that Darrell Williams is still playing the amount of snaps he's playing tells me that they don't necessarily trust CEH in like the football sense of it. They're going to give him the carries because they paid for it. You sure as hell better get your work out of them, but they want Darrell Williams on the field. And that seems evident to me.
Let's move on to our final topic, and as we often do, we'll wrap up with a tight end, and it is one Pat Freiermuth. Pat Freiermuth has gotten some action early on the season, and he's about to get even more because Eric Ebron is expected to be out a lengthy amount of time. So Pat Freiermuth into the tight end one, you know, seat for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where does that put his fantasy value at today, right now, Daniel Sanyo?
Well, it's tough because you still kind of have a loaded, not as loaded, but still a loaded offense. You know, you're still, your primary there is Najee Harris. Obviously, you have Deontay Johnson, who is going to continue to get over-targeted. When Chase Claypool is healthy, that's a big playmaker, you know, an important factor in that offense. Obviously, Juju out, and now Eric Ebron out. And this is historically an offense that likes to get tight end targets. And as Ben Roethlisberger becomes worse and worse and older and his arm doesn't work as good, the tight end seems like it's the easier play to make between Najee Harris and Freiermuth. I mean, I just feel like the targets are going to be there over the last five or six games. I mean, it's been six, seven, eight targets like per game. Now, they're not crazy, you know, high value targets, but he's getting red zone looks. He's got four touchdowns in his last four games.
They may not be long targets, but they are high value targets because they're touchdown targets.
That was a stupid misspeak on there. Yeah. The red zone targets are massive because that, you know, and that honestly is probably a ding on Najee Harris. If they're going to be throwing down there, he's going to be open probably more than Najee Harris is going to be because the defense is going to be honing in on him. So trying to take away those wide receivers, take away Najee Harris, you know, tight end, like I said before, has been pretty important to the Steelers over time. So he's boosted up. Over the last little stretch here, he's been, dare I say, more impressive than a Kyle Pitts.
Well, Kyle Pitts has decided to take a little November nap for Kyle Pitts. He's like, you know, I did enough in the first 2 months. I'm just chilling right now. That, and of course, the Falcons are a embarrassment to the NFL.
For reference, for those of you who are like, no, it's Kyle Pitts. He still had that one huge game. Kyle Pitts over the last month has had 13 yards, two games of 60, and a game of 29, where he was targeted very similarly to Pat Freiermuth. So, I mean, hold on, Nathan. Okay. Before I say, let's put him up in that conversation. On price to acquire, we would rather have Pat. Yeah?
Yeah, sure. I would rather have McDonald's than Ruth Chris. Like, it's much cheaper to acquire Pat Freiermuth.
$80 steak or diarrhea. I'm probably going to go with the steak route. But I do think that we can start putting him higher up in conversations. Are we really keeping Dallas?
We're gonna bump them up to like Applebee's or?
Hey, don't be hating on Applebee's. I mean, do we really want Dallas Goedert over Pat Freiermuth right
yes.
now?
Yes. Yeah, I hate Dallas. Dallas Goedert has taken years off my life.
Are we sure though? Because I feel like one of these guys has a higher floor than the other based on the offense that they're in.
Yes, absolutely. But you know, the quote unquote offense that Freiermuth's in, we don't know what offense he's going to be in next year, much less you know the future.
I'd have to imagine it's still going to be a Tomlin team and something similar to whatever Ben Roethlisberger currently is. Maybe it's Jameis Winston. Maybe they turn the keys over to whoever the backup is, hopefully not Mason Rudolph. Maybe they trade up and get a quarterback in the draft. You know, the talent they have offensively is a pretty decent draw. Maybe it's Russell Wilson. You know, maybe it's one of those guys.
I like Freiermuth, but I still think that like his weekly floor is probably still pretty low.
Do you have him as a tight end one based on the last month?
I mean, yes, like probably like in the, if I were to write down rankings, I'd probably put in like the tight end 10, 11 range.
Okay. I don't think that's necessarily low. I honestly just think he's probably a little bit higher. I love the tie to Pittsburgh with how they offensively have always used tight end.
His upside is higher than like everyone who's ranked below him and probably a couple people that are ranked above him. Like he has legitimate in the next like 18 months, like top three tight end upside. Granted, a lot of tight ends have top three tight end upside, but I think Freiermuth is like one of like the five or six legitimate ones.
It doesn't take much to get tight end three upside. All you need to do is be healthy and get like six targets a game and you're golden. And if a couple of those are red zone looks, we're cashing in.
All right. Well, we're going to cash in the check that RotoViz sends us, and you're going to subscribe RV Radio 2021 to help support the podcast, all those lovely things that you do for us. We appreciate you. Week 11 in the books, chugging along. Any last words, Dan?
No, hit him with the outro.
Kadosh.